TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to get right into it. This evening, we have the honor, privilege, and pleasure of being joined by the lovely Miss Heather Janine. Miss Heather, thank you so kindly for coming on Pod is War. And why don't you let the good folks know a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you for having me, first and foremost. So I'm a wrestling fan, used to kind of write about wrestling, sometimes still do. And I've traveled basically the entire world to go to different wrestling shows. I've been to OTT in London, Rev Pro in London, in Dublin, Rev Pro. I've been all over the U.S. to go to different shows. So wrestling's kind of been my life since like I was born.
That's awesome. And again, we do thank you for coming on. We here at Pod is War, with everything going on in the wrestling world right now, and everybody knows what it is, we felt obligated to have a woman on, especially a woman that has been involved with the industry, to kind of talk about this. We felt we needed that feminine voice to come on about this. And I also noticed that on your Twitter this afternoon, we're recording on a Wednesday, that you actually came out and talked a little bit about your own speaking out story.
Yes. Yeah. I've actually spoken a lot in the past about what's happened over the years, especially while I've been involved with like the indie scene. Where like different promoters have been creeps, wrestlers haven't been great people. And originally the person who kind of kickstarted things over here, Victoria, who spoke about like David Starr, she originally spoke out in 2016, which is when we all really started speaking out about everything, but things kind of just snowballed this week, or last week.
Well, what is it that you think it is about the industry? I know I have my thoughts, but we brought you on to talk to you. What is it about this industry that seems to draw degenerates, for lack of a better term?
So I don't think it is just this industry. It's all across, because music is going through the same thing. Comic books are going through the same thing. Hollywood has been going through the same thing. I think it's just a matter of when people think they have power, they try to take advantage of it.
Well, one thing that I did want to make sure that I said was I wanted to send my love and support to all the women and men, for that matter, that have found the courage, like yourself, to speak up and speak out and tell about these horrific stories. And even the ones that don't feel comfortable speaking out yet, whether they just don't feel comfortable sharing their story, or if they feel or they fear professional ramifications for speaking out. I just wanted to show all of them love. And you know, we got to do better, but I don't really know how we do better. I mean, what do you think the answer is, honestly? How do we do better? Not, you know, I'm going to keep it strictly to wrestling, but obviously this goes towards society as well. But you know how athletics is. It's kind of a microcosm of society. Whatever's going on in society is happening in athletics, and it's such a concentrated small size that it's a lot easier to sample and kind of pick apart.
I think right now is a good stepping stone, where everything, I guess the easiest way to say it, everything's burning. Everything needs to burn down. People have to get called out. People have to kind of be named and shamed, even though some people say that doesn't work. Because when everything returns, fans aren't going to forget what was said. Like, there are major ramifications going on where, like, people are getting rid of merch that they've had for years. People are learning their husbands are terrible human beings, their significant others. And so when wrestling comes back, a lot of fans, and I know I'm one of them, we're going to be watching to see who brings back abusers. And if you do, you're probably going to be losing money. I mainly stick to St. Louis Anarchy here in St. Louis. That's the promotion I go to. They literally put out a code of conduct for fans. They went ahead and showed the fans what the code of conduct is for wrestlers to going forward. The promoter went ahead and got rid of, I think it was two people who were named who had allegations against them. He went ahead and fired them and got rid of them. It was just like, you're not working for me when these things are out in the public and I know about them. When they were secrets and nobody knew, you kind of had plausible deniability. You don't have that going forward, and promotions can't keep hiding behind, well, we don't actually know what happened. This is going on for the entire world to basically see.
So my next question, and I do have to ask this, and I think I agree with everybody. It's a good thing to get the creeps and the degenerates and the abusers out of the paint. But there is eventually, and we've seen this in other industries when, you know, the Me Too movement happened and whatnot, there's going to eventually be a bit of a backlash. And what would you say to some of the critics that are going to say that, you know, it's eventually going to turn into a winch chut, and there's going to be people that don't want to speak out for the sake of speaking out and getting bad people out of here, but because of their own personal vendettas or agendas against a certain person, and they're going to be out here fishing for things to try to bury this person?
So we've actually already had that happening. I don't know how closely you've been following it on Twitter, but we've actually had it where certain people have been getting called out for going for like revenge posts and not actually talking about things that have happened to them. And to that I say, people who do those things get found out. You don't get to get away with being hateful and just vengeful for the sake of being vengeful without people calling you on it. At some point, karma catches up to you. And if you're one of those people who lies and is doing things just because you dislike whoever, you're going to get found out. Like, those things don't stay secrets. Just like all of this that went on ended up not staying a secret.
Was that fireworks, or was that the poppy things that you wrap stuff in? Oh, is that a pit bull?
He is a boxer pit mix.
Yeah, he's pretty. What's his name again?
His name is Kirk.
Yeah, he's pretty. Kurt Cobain or Kirk Cameron? Or you probably
Kirk from Kirk Gilmore Girls.
Oh, okay.
That's a very, very cute dog.
I did myself on that one. That's great. Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
I know you have a question, though, man. I see you picking your stash, man. You had a question or a comment or something to add. Please.
I just want to say I had a boxer named Lily. Your dog's really cute.
I know we're still kind of not really in the infancy, but it's all coming out. It's been about a week, and everything is building up. Do you think there's any coming back for anybody named in this? Because everything is varying degrees of sexual abuse to culpability to, you know, certain people just decided to cover for their buddy, and that's just, you know, kind of a shitty thing. Do you think there's any coming back for anybody, or is it going to be once you're named, you're kind of on everybody's blacklist for a while?
I think there is coming back for some people, if I'm honest with you. I think that there are, like you said, different levels of what has been happening over the years. Some people, I can honestly tell you, probably didn't know who they were talking to, probably didn't know what they were doing, because a lot of people don't think to ask girls, like, how old you are and stuff like that. And while that's not an excuse, guys can be dumb. And the idea that like everyone's going to ask for ID just from the go is not a thing that's real. But then there's others, like, for instance, Marty Squirrel, who is saying he did not know about the girl's age. And the girl's like, well, you trained me when I was 15 the year before, so that's a lie. I don't think people like that are going to be able to clean up their act and come back.
I think Dick Man's out of here for sure. I don't think there's any coming back for him. And who would have thought a guy who does box with people flipping his dick was a sexual deviant? Who could have saw that one coming?
I've never liked him, and I've always stayed away from like everything he did because it just didn't appeal to me. And there was a show when I was in Nashville that he was at, and I just kind of like avoided the entire time. You're like, I don't like him. I don't want to be around him. And some of the people who are with me at the show now are like, oh, we shouldn't have made fun of you for like running away from him. This makes sense now.
Your spidey senses were tingling, man. Come on now. I mean, Ray Charles could see that. He's blind and dead.
I agree with you. Like, I don't know how he got away with it for so long. That's my issue. Like, I don't know how he got away with it. And I don't know if it was a mix of people not wanting to call out their friends and people being afraid of the ramifications that he could bring about. Because we can't lie, he's powerful. He had, like, basically everyone under his thumb. But, yeah, I don't know. I think he belongs in jail, if I'm honest with you.
I think you kind of named it there, though, because he had so much, like, mid-level power where he was on Lucha Underground. He had his run in ROH and TNA, and then now in Impact again. So he was one of the bigger little guys, you know what I mean? So it was, I guess, hard to kind of take shots at him when he had so much power and influence over everything, you know, aside from WWE.
Well, I think a lot about Victoria, who is the first one who called out David Starr. Victoria tried calling him out back in 2016, and he got everyone to believe that she was this crazy ex-girlfriend who was just vengeful and out to get him. Victoria's talked about this. She went and was just like, man, am I the problem? She went and worked on herself. I've known Victoria for many years. And he really made her and everybody else believe that she was a psycho ex-girlfriend. Now everything comes out. There's more proof. There's everything showing that he's an abuser. He's been an abuser. He's been doing this to not only her, but multiple other women who've also come forward. But why did he get away with it? Because people wanted to believe that the woke character that he pretended to be was actually who he was. And because he had, you know, star power across the like pond and everything, people thought, oh, we can trust him, and this girl's just a crazy ex-girlfriend. And now 4 years later, we're like, oh, she wasn't just a crazy ex-girlfriend. Look at all the stuff he did to even the most recent girlfriend, who's also speaking out now.
Now I do have to throw this out here, and the two things can be correct simultaneously. I'm not even saying this in reference to Victoria. But you can also, you can have a crazy ex-girlfriend and also have a guy who's a sexual deviant. And I think that that was important to say. Again, not talking about Victoria. I don't know the young lady, so I can't speak on her in that fashion. But it's important to say that, because a lot of times people will absolve men and women of deviant behavior because of that. Oh, well, it's coming from a crazy place, or it's coming from a promiscuous young lady, or whatever the case may be. So I think that's important that... We have to say that two things can be correct simultaneously.
But here's an important thing to remember. If everybody you ever dated is crazy, you're probably the problem. And that's very much pointed when it comes to him. Because everybody that he has ever had call him out, it becomes they're crazy, they're vengeful, they're whatever. And it's like, if every person in your life is this, you're probably a big part of that problem.
So, Heather, one thing that I've been thinking about a lot, and Andrew, I want you to get in and give your opinion on this as well, is how much culpability goes to these quote-unquote journalists? And, of course, you can pick up the hashtag journalism shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. This is probably a horrible time for a plug, but I apologize. I couldn't help myself.
Ever the businessman.
But the thing is, they knew. They heard something. They had to have heard something. And for whatever reason, maybe fear of ramifications, maybe they just wanted to be down with the crew, they didn't do anything about it. So how much culpability do they have? Because quite frankly, you know that they heard things, and the responsible thing to do would have been to investigate. Why? Because that's what journalists do. So what culpability do you think that some of these hashtag journalists in the wrestling industry have in all of this?
So I'm probably not the best person to ask, because some of the so-called journalists in the past have attempted to kind of like run me out. There was one in particular who threatened to go down to Florida when I lived down there and beat me up. There was one who threatened to rape me. There was another one who, yeah, it was pretty nasty back in, I don't know, 2014, 2015. It had to have been 2014 and 2015. And those individuals, I'm sure, heard other things, but how are you going to call someone out when you're doing the same things to other people?
You are the person to ask for this, because we don't talk to them either, man. They've ruined the industry, and we're finding out now in more ways than one. But Andrew, please, get in here on this one, please.
I was just going to say, part of your question, it's a little loaded, because we make the joke about hashtag journalism, and everybody says it's, you know, fake wrestling news, or that they're not real journalists, so... why would we expect them to do their due diligence and research something and actually break a real story when we don't trust them to actually be worth shit anyway?
So, just disclaimer, I actually have a degree in journalism. I've worked on different types of publications, and so those people that we call hashtag journalists, who I've gone head-to-head with many times over the years...
I've challenged some of them to fist fights before on these airwaves, so go ahead, say what you got to say.
They challenged me to fist fights, not the other way around.
Hey, next time...
when they see me in public, they don't talk to me. Like, they won't even, like, look at me. Because I've been Ohio, all over the country. They won't look my way most of the time. But people like that aren't going to do the work that goes into investigative journalism, because then you have to look at something through more than your own bias, and they can't do that.
Heather, you're part of the Planet Sport fam now, so yeah, next time they challenge you to a fist fight, you bring that shit to me. Bring that shit to me, man. I'm not going to name the name, but yeah, I've challenged some of the melon farmers before, but yeah, that's the end of there.
You're not enough drinks in to name names. Give us, you know, another an hour or so. Couple of wine. And then think like, Sean Ross Sapp, you motherfucker. You're like, that's exactly what you're going to do.
I actually think the main two who used to like try and antagonize me, I don't think they're part of like wrestling anymore, but they both blocked me when I told them that like they wanted to keep calling me out when they saw me at a show, they should come to my face and not stand behind me. But you know.
Well, they blocked you, so that says something too. They couldn't even deal with you on Twitter. What do you think they're gonna do in person?
Yeah, right? Like I'm 5'1". I'm not intimidating at all.
Maybe they thought you'd bring the dogs, and that was the thing, because they're not exactly small dogs, so hey.
And, cool, and then I got a Mastiff, so you know. They're kind of intimidating when they want to be.
So how involved to this day are you in the wrestling industry? I know you spoke about the local promotion in St. Louis that you know, have a relationship with. Is that where it ends?
Kind of, sometimes, not really. I'm actually married to a wrestler. Oh. So I go with him to shows every now and again, not all the time because we have the dogs. I work as a paralegal, so I'm usually like in and out of trials. I'm also in school too, getting another degree. So like my schedule isn't as open as it used to be. I kind of stick to St. Louis Anarchy. I will go to freelance every now and again when I have the Friday like availability too. But mainly those are the two that I stick to now, especially now that I live in St. Louis. When I was still in Nashville, it would be Freelance, Anarchy, and then Southern Underground Pro, because they're the ones based out of Nashville, and then TWE out of Chattanooga, which I'll still go to every now and again, depending on my schedule. And then I also, when I have the availability, I write about Anarchy for the Chair Shot, too, so that way like they get some... I still get to flex my writing muscle, and they get some publicity for the most part, since, you know, they're a smaller company and they don't have the viewerships that other people are going to have.
So is it just the scheduling thing, or is it some of the experiences that you've had in this industry have kind of soured you on it?
No, it's mainly scheduling. I love wrestling. I'm always going to love wrestling. Jackasses and Bad People aren't going to sour me on it. Bad People have been around in everything that I've ever done, just because bad people exist in everything. And pro wrestling has literally been in my life since I was 4. I'm going to be 30. So it's basically the longest running part of my life, and shitty people aren't going to run me out of it.
Oh, you're not even 30. You're such a baby. God bless you. Oh, my goodness. Enjoy your youth, dear. It goes fast.
I
used
to say that until, like, I woke up and, like, my shoulder and neck were, like, gone this morning. I was like, oh, this is great.
Give it 10 years.
To be fair, I mean, but to be fair, though, you are a woman. You know, women mature faster than men. So, you know, a 29-year-old woman is really like a 32-year-old woman. You know what I mean?
That's true.
No, I'm not talking about it. She got it, right?
She's it's just polite.
And the fact that like we have to put up with what men do all the time.
That's true. We're stupid, so you know that'll age you too.
But one thing that I keep coming back to, and I don't have the answers. I'm just kind of asking the question here. I mean. This is talking specifically about professional wrestling, and frankly, this would extend to most industries, the music industry, Hollywood, whatever you want to say. It's an industry based that is predicated on liars and thieves and charlatans and hucksters and con men and, you know, just the worst type of individual. I mean, there's a reason, you know, guys like Booker T or MVP can come into this business after doing a stretch and doing a bid and be welcome with open arms. And, you know, this is no disrespect to either one of those brothers. They both deserve second chances, and they took the ball and ran with it. I'm not trying to play them whatsoever. But I said that to say that they're choir boys in comparison to the majority of this industry. And I don't know what the answer is. And, you know, you're going to hear a lot of platitudes coming out which you probably already have, talking about we have to do better. And yeah, men, we do have to do better, man. We got to look out for our sisters. That's fair. But I don't know what the answer is in this industry, because it's always going to attract deplorable people of all walks of life. So I don't know how we fix this. I really don't.
The answer is we don't expect perfection. The answer is men start calling out their friends on their buddies and their ones who they think are heroes and start saying, yo, you're being fucking creepy. Stop. Or why are you hitting on a 15-year-old? Or why are you hitting on a 16-year-old? You stop making it so that women have to speak up and speak out so that they're heard, when I know many men have seen their friends do shitty things, they've seen them do despicable things, and instead of being like, what are you doing, it's on us to then be like, what the fuck are you doing, you know? And the idea that at some point any industry, especially pro wrestling, is going to be without abusers or predators is laughable. That's never going to happen. But what can happen is the majority of people take accountability and do their best to hold everyone to the same standard, as opposed to being like, well, you know, he's kind of famous, so just let him do whatever he wants. It's fine. That doesn't work. You got to call the dude who's in, like, the super shindy up until the dude who's in WWE and be like, hey, everyone has to be at the same. Will people slip through? Yeah, of course. That's life. But if more people step up when they first see it, we don't end up with a 22-year-old who was 16 and was being raped by different men within the same industry.
You hear that, Michael Hayes? Get your shit together, because you know he got to have a few stories out there. I swear to God, man, I said this on every airways, man. When the Me Too movement popped off, I just knew Michael Hayes was going to get called out on some shit. It's coming. He got to. I'm wrong?
I want to just start here by thanking you for coming on and, yes, and talking with us. You're very charming. You're easy to talk to. You're very, very smart, and people should have listened to what you just said. And if they weren't paying close attention, they should replay it and listen to what you said again, because you made a lot of great points about personal accountability, not only for yourself, but for the situation you're in. And I really, really 100% agree with that. So before we get some last thoughts here, I want to make sure that you go ahead and plug everything that you have going on with you and on social media and everything else, and finish that with something positive that's going on in your life right now.
So my social media is just Heather Janine. That's basically where I put everything. When I restart up my podcast, it goes there. It's about paranormal stuff. When I write, it goes on there. Something positive. My niece is going to be 9 this summer, and she's going into 4th grade. Something positive that came from her is she called me to tell me that she got straight A's on her last report card. And nice. That's amazing, because my niece started the school year with like a delay in reading and everything, so no one thought that was going to happen. So that's something positive that, you know, it's kind of wholesome and maybe you'll make someone else smile.
Made me smile. Made me smile.
That's fantastic.
Gentlemen, last question for this intelligent young woman.
I've got nothing. I second PC's thoughts. Thank you so kindly for coming on. You were great. You have an open invitation. Anytime you want to come hang out on Pod is War, please come back. And you classed the place up a lot as well. We were all on our best behavior, believe it or not, even me. This was my best behavior. But thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and sitting down and talking with us about this. Like I said earlier, it was very important for us to have a female voice on here to discuss these things. It just would have felt weird with 3 hard legs on here talking about this issue. So from the bottom of my heart, I really do appreciate it. You've been great, and thank you. Seriously.
Yeah, we definitely need to get you back on for a more positive topic. Maybe just, you know, something stupid, something wrestling related, away from any kind of drama. So, this was awesome. Thank you very much, Heather.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
I'll be the last one standing, 2 hands in the air, I'm a champion. You'll be looking up at me when it's over. I live for the battle, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a fighter like Rocky. Put your flag on your back like Ali. Yeah, I'm the greatest, I'm stronger. Bet my dues, can't lose, I'm my own, yeah. Hey, I've been working my whole life, and now it's done.
The C is for the courage I possess through the drama. H is for the hurt, but it's all for the honor. A is for my attitude, working through the patience. Money comes and goes, so the M is for motivation. Gotta stay consistent, the P is to persevere. The I is for integrity, innovative career. The O is optimistic, open and never shut. And the N is necessary, cause I'm never giving up. See, they ask me how I did it, I just did it from the heart. Crushing the competition, been doing it from the start. They say that every champion is all about his principles. Carry.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads you shall. We implore you, we ask you, we demand of you, if we can go that far. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts. We've got something for everybody. We've got hashtag journalism. We've got Jeez Did the Job, Safe Tag Team Wrestling, and many, many other cool designs. If you enjoy the content we provide day in and day out here at the Chair Shot, show us some love and make sure that we can continue to do it by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you, and please. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by Andrew Belaz and the Commissioner PC Tunney. And before we begin, gentlemen, I would be remiss if I did not send a special shout out and thank you to our lovely guest that you heard prior to this song playing, Heather Janine. She came on, she talked a little bit about her experiences with the hashtag Speaking Out movement and just how we can do better in pro wrestling, because we got to do better. This shit can't continue the way it is. But she was a cool guest. I really enjoyed having her on, and shout out to her, and make sure you all support any and everything that she does. Gentlemen, how goes it?
It goes. Another week in quarantine, another, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. It's all blurring together. I guess everything's fine. How about you, Tony? Anything? Softball?
Life is continuing. It's never stopped for me. I'm one of the few. I've been an essential worker. I've been out and about at the store. I've been golfing, keeping my social distance from people, you know, things of that nature. Trying not to wash other people's balls on the course. I think that's a no-no. COVID time.
Is that
or
a
not.
Euphemism or actual golf balls?
Actual golf balls. I'm not touching their golf ball. Or their clubs.
Yeah, right.
They put a screen down now. So you go to the course, right? All golf ball jokes aside. When you sit in the cart, like say you got paired up with people you don't play with, there's this screen that would come down in between you, like a rain shield that would go in between you. So you can, if you wanted to sneeze on the other guy, you couldn't even try. It would just go right into the shield, and then you'd have that to deal with the rest of the night. I don't know why you'd want to sneeze on somebody, though.
Yeah, you could, being an asshole, but real quick, man, how do you spell phenomenal?
Phenomenal, phenomenal. I don't know. I'm getting tipsy. If I wrote it down, I could do it. Phenomenal.
I've already
phenom,
sent it. So
it's phenom AL.
That's great. I've already sent it. So if I'm wrong, I just look like an idiot. It won't be the first time. Probably won't be the last. So don't worry about it.
What's a pH?
That's pH balance. That's pH is where your you need your body's acid levels to be. The more acidic you are, the more likely you are to develop cancerous cells in your body. So
no,
you want to keep
it,
your
pH. I mean, it's not like phenomenal.
I thought it was something you checked in the pool. That and the chlorine. No?
I literally just gave you Melon Farmer's life-saving tips, and you're making bad jokes. Okay, cool.
I mean, it's summer. Maintenance is important.
I mean, it's summer. Pool maintenance is important.
I like when he does his voice like that. That's funny.
Me and Chris is making fun of me again.
Between the haircut and the beard combination, you kind of made yourself an easy target, brother.
Hey, you know, not everybody can pull off, you know, evil scientist, comic book bad guy, and, you know, make it work. Nowadays.
Yes, and by not everybody, you're including yourself in that equation, correct?
Wow, that's what you think, you mean bastard.
Ouch.
You're just upset the Clyde Drexler look went out in 1989.
You got way more hair than Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, my hairline is still.
My hair is more like Clyde Drexler.
Yes.
So fuck you, balls. Fuck you, man.
That's right. I forgot what your hairline looked like because you're not Bill Belichick in it this week. You're used to the hoodie. I thought that was attached.
It starts where it ends.
Apparently.
It's a lot better than you think it is, actually. But actually, it's not bad right now. But, I'm gonna shave it all off soon. Yeah, no, I never had to explain that. All right, why don't you?
I kid.
Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
Hey folks, listen up, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net. Pins, stickers, illustrations. angrylemonade.net.
This is my yard now.
The coronavirus breakout number 2, WWE and Moxley boogaloo, right there for Mr. Platt. So, who's all coughing, but not from the sweet leaf there, Mr. Platt?
We all knew this was coming, didn't we?
I think you called it exactly what I said. Coronavirus coming back to electric boogaloo or something. You said it.
Yeah, I said it much cooler. I said the Corona 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Now say it in the voice you used to make fun of Andrew.
Corona 2 Electric Boogaloo. Is that it?
Andrew, you sound way less cool than Platt.
Thanks. It's not like you did any better.
But, I mean, we knew this was going to happen, man, because the whole wrestling industry, at least here in America, has been playing loosey-goosey, fast and loose, and they've been staring the devil in the face and spitting in his eye this entire time that this thing has been a thing. Now, according to reports, we'll start with the E first. I've heard it was a couple of people. I've heard 10 people. I've heard all the way up to 19 people. The bottom line is nobody knows, really, but all we know that there was a major spike and a major breakout. The same thing happened in AEW with their world champion Moxley, and also I believe QT Marshall caught the Rona as well, or he was around somebody that had the Rona. So I can't say for certain that he had it, but he was around somebody that did have it. So that's why he wasn't on the show this evening. Yeah, none of this is surprising, man. I mean, they should have shut down like everybody else. And I'm a selfish bastard, but just like the rest of us, and I'm glad that we have had wrestling throughout this because we didn't have anything else. And NBA TV is starting to piss me off because they keep playing the same games over and over. But y'all probably should have set y'all asses down somewhere.
Can you really say that? When these spikes didn't happen again till that state was open and we had 3 months of quarantine wrestling, which everything was mostly fine.
We'll be right back to talk about wrestling.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
A
little bit of the bubbly, indeed. Another evening of the Wednesday Night War was upon us directly before recording. You two gentlemen look like you enjoyed the shows this evening. I know we finished on the AEW side, as I should know, with a little freshly squeezed and Y2J getting into it. Other than that, y'all are going to have to lead me through tonight's Wednesday Night War.
Let me give you my quick synopsis. Both shows sucked. Andrew?
I thought AEW was worse, but they both had one really fucking good match. AEW had FTR versus SCU. That was a really good match. And the main event of NXT was fantastic. For what we had aside from that, I don't really know, because AEW had that lumberjack match was terrible. It was an okay big man match at first, and then it just turned into overly telegraphed spots, and certain lumberjacks got involved too much and started jumping on Wardlow or what like that. It just broke down to stupidity. Sadly, after the FTR and SCU match, then you had Butcher and Blade show up, and Pentagon and Phoenix, Lucha Bros, decided to re-debut or, you know, show back up after quarantine, whatever you really want to call it. But that whole reveal and the tension and the moment timing was botched beyond all hell. And it just came off really, really amateur and bullshit. So,
I apologize, man. I just want to double back to something that you said. The first thing you said, talking about AEW, I agree with you, because they did a really good job of building up that Wardlow versus Luchasaurus feud, and I was really looking forward to that match, and it started off well, but then, yeah, they got to indie spot, and they did all the flips onto the...
Exactly where I lost it to. And then, like I said, the SCU versus FTR match, it was a damn good match. Like, if they had a few more minutes, if it was a pay-per-view, it would have been better, but it still wasn't bad. But the timing for the Lucha Bros and Butcher Blade thing, that was completely fucked. I actually just stopped watching it when Matt Hardy came out, because I lost faith in the show. And that's when the main event for NXT started up, so I enjoyed the shit out of Finn, Gargano, and Keith Lee. That was a fucking good match, where it was the two little guys chopping down the big redwood, basically, and Keith just looking like a monster the whole time. It was great. He looked like a dominant big man, and I loved how they did the typical thing that they do with him, where they just have him rise up over Finn's shoulder, and it was great. And Keith Lee ends up retaining his North American title for the winner-take-all match against Adam Cole. And it was so good. And Keith looked smart as fuck, too, when he moved out of the way so Finn could grab Johnny Gargano when he was pinning him. And then he just hits him with the Big Bang Catastrophe after that. Just, that was a good match. Aside from that, it was.
And the right Karrion guy...
Cross and Scarlett are still cool. That wasn't a bad match, honestly.
And the right guy went over in that NXT main event as well. Like, if you're going to have Keith Lee fight all these, I can't say the vanilla M words. I mean, he's got to go over these.
It's a reference. Come on. We know it's a Kevin Nash reference. This is a wrestling podcast. You can say vanilla That's midget.
Fair. All right. Fair enough. I'll let you say it for me.
There we go. and he's got another vanilla midget in Adam Cole, so I wonder what's going to happen there.
You say that word for me, and I'll say the other word for you. But
I like that.
He's so goddamn tall. How does that work? He's taller than all of us.
Who?
Andrew.
I think I barely got you guys beat, because we're all kind of fucking tall.
we're around the same. Like, there's no small guys on this podcast. Yeah, but a little bit.
Aren't you like 6'3"?
Yes.
All right, 6'2", 6'1".
It's the girth, though, where he really got us. That's where it really pays off.
Thanks. Jeez. You know, at least Keith Lee got the rub, so then it's like big, girthy guys, you know, now. So, all right. I may not have the Big Bang Catastrophe, because we all know what those initials happen to spell out, so that doesn't apply. But, you know, hey, at least the build does. There we go. Anyway... But you know what's cringy as fuck, though, about NXT before you chime back in, Platt?
Oh, I ain't got shit, man.
Raquel Gonzalez has been referring to herself as Big Mommy Cool, which is obviously a reference to Diesel and Sean, because she's supposed to be the enforcer for Dakota. Raquel Gonzalez sucks. As much shit as we give Nash, he wasn't that bad. Like, even him as Oz was not that fucking bad. I would rather him dress up in green with a Kevin Sullivan mask or whatever the fuck that was than fucking watch a Raquel Gonzalez match. Why the fuck do they feel like just fucking parodying old gimmicks and trying to get it over when no one called her that? She calls herself that. Isn't that rule one of a nickname, is that other people give it to you and you don't give it to yourself, or that's just fucking cringy?
Well, number one, that went out the window with the Black Mamba, RIP. And yeah, she's not cool. You know what I mean? With all due respect to the young lady, she's not cool. Like, there's a reason why Vince fell in love with Diesel. I mean, we can clearly see why he fell in love with him. This is a legit 6'10", 6'11", 7-foot guy. He's mm-hmm. handsome. He got swag. Mm-hmm. He's cool. Like, you can see why somebody would want to build a promotion around that melon farmer. Like, he's got, he checks all the boxes. With all due respect to Raquel, and I get what they're going, but they're clearly out of ideas, man. And, you know, they're not the only ones. So is Hollywood. Everything's a reboot True. Or a sequel. Like, everybody is out of ideas right now. That's why we need to get a reset. That's why I thought this COVID would be good. We can do, like, a world reset, because we're literally out of ideas. We're out of ideas. We're done. We've got nothing else. Nothing else.
We need booking by Tony.
Oh, God.
Hey, babe, what you got?
No, just you just give it to me and we'll see it.
Houston General figured I'll make the magic happen.
You've been listening to what I've been laying down for years now. I mean, we all know Vince listens to what I'm saying. It happens all the time. So just let me take over. Eh? What's that all about?
So you're Canadian now?
It sounds like it in that Angry Lemonade commercial, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's funny.
It kind of does, you're right.
I told you, it's horrible.
Hey, folks, listen up. It's BC Tunney here, eh? You know, I've got a good time out on the lagoon. It iced over real good. I have a wonderful slap shot. I hit the high shelf shellies. It's just, it's wonderful.
Hey, folks, this is BC Tunney. Hey. After this promo, why don't you meet me down at the Timmy Hortons for some waffles, eh?
You know, you got to get a nice jelly and a medium coffee at the Timmy Hortons.
Sure, yeah, let your bummer smoke, yeah. Yes, we have coins.
I didn't know they had Jamaican Canadians.
I was about to say, I couldn't tell if that was Jamaican.
Hey, folks, come on up to Canada, eh?
First Jamaican Jew.
We will smoke a blunt and have a fucking waffle, brother.
I like the locks on my bagel, brother, man. Bumba cut.
Vancouver is the place to be.
Vancouver, man. Dakanooks.
Wow, my favorite Canadian, the Jamaican Canadian. The accent's amazing. Oh, I'm really sorry, man. I apologize, eh?
I apologize. Sorry about that, man.
Listen, and this is all out of respect, because I love accents and I do them all the time, and those are some of my favorite. Ever since back in Cool Runnings, man, that's the best.
I figured you were going to bring up Cool Runnings, because I don't really think of much else that we could really cite for a Jamaican accent.
Oh, man.
I had a literal Jamaican get mad at me because I was making fun of him by bringing up Cool Runnings, and he legit got pissed. You do know none of those men were Jamaican. I said, yes, that's why it's a joke. Because there's a large Jamaican population here in Atlanta. How it goes is they come here, they go to New York. New York gets too expensive, so then they move back down here to Atlanta, or move down here to Atlanta. So there's a huge Jamaican population out here.
It's like when you say schedule.
Yes, yeah, so I just do that to...
He does that to be bougie, though. There's a difference there.
All right. NXT, we were talking about, and AEW, are we done with that? I don't know.
Well, that's the Wednesday Night Wars conversations, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready, though, for the next couple of weeks. We're going to have Fighter Fest Part 1 and 2 with AEW. And to counteract Fighter Fest, NXT is bringing back the Great American Bash, which that's cool, but there's no Sting, there's no Flair, there's no Luger, there's no Horseman. But other than that, it's no Dusty. But other than that, hey, man.
Hey, they could bring back Sting and Flair or Luger. Granted,
but not Elizabeth.
Two out of three of them.
I'm not going to go there. I had a hell of a Lex Luger joke. I'm not going there, man. I am not going there.
I kind of want to know.
I am not going to allow this podcast to fall off the wheels. I mean, rails.
Wow. The Lex Express is okay.
I don't know, but you thought it was okay to go with a Jamaican Canadian accent before.
Well, that's different, man. Luger is a Christian, just in case there is a God in heaven. No, no.
He's a born-again Christian. That doesn't count. That's man. Fucking right. Assholes no. Who decided to be like, hey! Yep.
There we go. We've officially checked all the boxes we never want to check on Wednesday night.
That's so, the lie. We yep. Found it.
All right, cool. Amber, Amber, yep. Let's, come on, help me out.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Folks, if you want to hear a whole lot more about the Undertaker documentary, please go back and listen to Three Man Weave with myself, Christopher Platt, and the one and only Ray Cash. We did a phenomenal couple reviews episodes past on the first three and then on the last two as well. Briefly, Platt, tell everybody once again how you felt about that final episode. I know we talked about it before, but just to see him go back and look and kind of reflecting, knowing the announcement that now that was coming at the end of that episode.
Yeah, he'll be back.
That's what we both said.
He'll be back. And I mean, the thing is, if depending on where we are as a country come around November, Survivor Series, it's not looking good, folks. Like, seriously, you guys didn't see a second spike coming when we didn't do anything to curtail this the first time, and the Asian countries actually did shit and they had two or three spikes. Y'all didn't see any of this coming. And let alone y'all people, Andrew, PC, y'all people out here protesting like they trying to get their goddamn Emancipation Proclamation on. Like, oh my God, I can't go to Panera Bread and Supercuts. I'm so oppressed. Like, nobody saw this second spike coming. Okay, cool. But if they were going to have a Survivor Series like normal with crowd participation and whatnot, I think that it would be a shoe-in for Undertaker to appear on the Survivor Series. And I still think that he is in some capacity going to appear on Survivor Series because it's just great synergy. It's literally the 30-year anniversary of him making his WWE F at the time debut. That's just perfect synergy to have him come out of Survivor Series. And it doesn't ever necessarily even have to be a match. Maybe you have Sami Zayn or somebody come out there and cut a promo, and he just comes out, choke slams him, tombstones him, throws up the fist on the way back up the ramp, and y'all keep it moving like an escalator. But I don't think we've seen the end of Taker. He said he's content right now because that Boneyard match ended so well, and that was a great way to go out. But he also left that caveat: if Vince needs me and he calls me, I'll listen. And you know Vince is going to call him, and he's going to listen.
Yeah, I don't have much else aside from that. Like, give it 3 years. If he stays retired after that, then I might believe him or care. But until then, it's just lip service. I don't really care either way.
I actually think there's a... Gee, thanks. But I think there's a three-year window. After that 3 years, it's a wrap because he's going to be too broken down and... Yeah, but within these 3 years, we'll see him in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. True. I'm glad we agree. Tony, do you have anything to add to make this more interesting, or should we just go to the next one? Because I can't really add to agreeing.
Wow.
Wow, really? You, Undertaker, 30 years of dominance. You have nothing to say about this, Melon Farmer.
30 years of dominating who before? Then we decided to blow the streak in, like, 2000 or whatever when he finally fought, like, what? Triple H five times or some shit like that? Eh.
Okay,
I don't have nearly the nostalgia or the care for Undertaker as many other people do.
No. You brought up an angle, man. So we're going to go right with, to what the hell you just said. Uh-huh. In hindsight.
Giant Gonzalez.
Shut up. In hindsight, with the benefit of hindsight, which hindsight vision is 2020, ending the streak when they ended the streak was absolutely, positively the correct decision. Ending it when, where, and with whom, that was the correct decision. How can you think otherwise?
I have no opinion one way or the other, because at some point I figured he was going to lose. I would have preferred it against Randy Orton, but we've heard plenty of stories that Randy didn't want to do it because he respected The Undertaker, yada yada yada, too much. So Brock was fine. I wasn't outraged Brock broke the streak. I'm just saying, I don't care. He had some pretty shitty matches and pretty shitty opponents for the first half of that streak, and it wasn't even acknowledged until he got towards the twilight of everything, when then it was
shitty opponents.
Sean has to
shitty Giant opponents.
Gonzalez, Big Boss Man, like Jake, those were good Roberts, matches. Those were great
Jimmy
matches.
Fly Snooker.
Oh, that was a great match.
King Kong Bundy. These are Hall of Fame names. King Kong Bundy headlined WrestleMania. When's the last time you headlined WrestleMania, sir?
What?
Exactly.
When was the last time you headlined a WrestleMania?
It's not an argument.
I'm not shitting on these names, sir. That's my point. Yeah, I've never headlined a WrestleMania.
Last time I checked, we did. Okay, Coco Beware's a Hall of Famer, and it's not like we're blowing all of his matches out of the way. Like, oh, he's an amazing worker. And that parrot wasn't. Wow, he was fucking over his shit.
Snooker's not a legend.
Best parrot in
Jake
wrestling
Roberts
history.
Isn't a legend.
Snooker didn't have a good match since he jumped off the cage.
Boss Man's not a legend. Boss Man's not a legend. Big Show's not a legend. Mark Henry is a Hall of Famer.
You guys haven't been this fired up for a while.
Mark Henry also came into his own during the Hall of Pain gimmick, which was after that, I'm pretty sure. He was kind of just the world's strongest man and a big dude, but he kind of just kind of fell into the wash for a while. You can't tell me that he was like...
Chris, let me get one here. Let me get one here. Chris, let me help you out a little bit. Andrew, name another Hall of Fame parrot.
Oh, fuck. You win.
Polly. That's all you got. It's Polly.
I don't even think she's in the Hall of Fame, though.
How do you know?
I mean, Polly, you know. Unless it's Polly Shore. Oh, crap. You got a point there. Does the parrot say, hey, buddy? Hey, buddy.
Well, it's probably one of Crack's. I'm pretty sure it's a male parrot, because do I really have to go there?
I can't even.
I couldn't help it, man. I apologize.
That's good, but like I can't.
But real quick, honey, you disagree that was the right time, the right person, and right place to end the streak? You disagree with that?
For what they did afterwards and what the thinking was, because you have to look back and say, okay, they knew they were going to use Brock moving forward the way they did for many years afterwards, and it totally solidified that, right? And it totally helped them sell at the time when Brock Lesnar was the man. You can't discount the fact that Brock Lesnar legitimizes WWE even more, right? I mean, in a world of suspension of disbelief, it's real easy on a scale of 1 to 10 to suspend disbelief watching Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of people. Because he beats the shit out of people, right? And he's gigantic, and he looks great, and they gave him Paul Heyman, and that's why Paul Heyman's not around right now. But one could say that another up-and-comer would have benefited more from such a gigantic rub. And that's my only drawback from there. That's it.
But who?
Bray Wyatt?
There was nobody.
Bray Wyatt. Great. That's the only maybe one. Great. If you wanted him to take over, they could have had him beat Sting instead of Seth Rollins. And then they could have had him beat Undertaker. Think about that.
Well, my thing is, man, where I'm not mad at the whole Brock thing is because, I mean, Undertaker hadn't had a good WrestleMania match up until this Boneyard match since CM Punk the year before. And clearly that was the right decision not to have CM Punk go over, because the very next year he was out the company, right? And out the business. And Brock was starting to lose a little bit of steam, man, because he had that weird trilogy with Triple H, which none of those matches were really good, and he lost. And then of course he lost to John Cena on his first night into the company, or back to the company, which I think that was more a business decision. They were kind of testing Brock to see if he was going to be willing to play ball. I think that's what that was about. They were trying to see if he's going to be willing to play ball and do the job to Cena. But he had lost a little bit of his steam and his luster after coming in, and he needed something big like that to re-solidify him. And I think that's what propelled him to be the top guy in the industry up until now, which I don't know if he's still, you know, contracted to WWE. That seems to kind of be in the air, but it was the right time for it to happen. And Undertaker, the streak had become such an albatross around the Undertaker's neck, because he was always expected to go out there and steal the show for WrestleMania, and he just doesn't have that capacity any longer. So I thought it was, you know, at the time I questioned it, and I didn't think it was the right decision. But with the benefit of hindsight, I think that it was the perfect time and the perfect person to end the streak. It didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out, because that was supposed to propel Roman the next year, but they botched the whole Roman thing. But that's neither here nor there. But, I mean, think about how much mileage they've gotten out of that Brock Lesnar character by resetting him and reestablishing him as who he was. And Taker was able to go out there and put on 25-minute Broadways anymore like he used to, or 25-minute classics like he was. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. We'll come back to this topic, I'm sure. But over-under, before we wrap this up, man, over-under Taker at Survivor Series, I say 85% chance. Balls, what do you think?
For an appearance and not necessarily a match, yeah, I'll say it's 90%.
Appearance and physicality.
I'll give that a good 90%. I don't think he's going to break out of retirement 3 months down the line, or whatever the hell it happens to be, you know, just because of COVID and all this other stuff. But I think he appears. Especially if it's a way to fuck with AJ, because they decided to keep that alive during Money in the Bank, that he was still haunted by the room of Undertaker and Titan Tower or whatever it was. So it's possible that they could still play with the Undertaker kind of mystique. But yeah, I don't think he gets back in the ring this year. Next year, maybe. That's why I said 3-year window is what I'm seeing.
PC, you want to know in on this, or are we just moving on?
No, I'll wrap it up. Hall of Fame announcement at Survivor Series, inducted at the next year's WrestleMania. He will not wrestle again. He's done. Next topic.
And shame on y'all for having Ric Flair out there with that COVID, man. He almost died twice in the last 4 years, and he got like a fourth of a colon left, and y'all got him out there. Shame on y'all.
I loved Ric Flair with Randy Orton. Are you kidding me? You never heard this before?
I have to announce to you that I will never retire!
Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints, and across the nation. And it's a sin, the guns, the fake, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Much like this song reminds me of A Better Time of Wrestling, the actual wrestling right now on Raw has reminded me of a better time of wrestling on Raw. Christopher Platt, I know you agree with me 100%.
Of course I do. And I know Mr. Belaz probably doesn't watch Raw because he doesn't do that show with Harry Bratwurst anymore. But Raw's been damn good the past couple of weeks.
I've never had a Harry Bratwurst before. I've had lots of Bratwurst, but not a hairy one.
Oh, I'm sure you have. You just didn't realize that there was hair in there. Have you seen how those things are made?
Let's not. No, don't. Come on. Okay. Come on. Come on. Come on.
The sauerkraut.
Folks, not all sausages are bad, okay? Some are made with care and love and tenderness. Not the love and tenderness that Chris is talking about, but real Bratwurst love and tenderness.
But Raw's been really good, man. Shout out to MVP, who I believe has been the MVP on Raw. It's great to see him back. He's one of the few guys that can talk and has a cool factor, which I think has been missing in wrestling for a while. Drew McIntyre is holding it down like an anvil on a seesaw. I say it week in and week out. I'm really enjoying his title run. It just sucks because this dude just seems to be snake bitten because this title run is coming in a capacity crowd of zero. Or people that are paid to be there. One thing that I find is hilarious is they figured out how to pipe in the crowd noise, because there'll be something happening in the ring and the crowd is just going ham, just and then they'll cut to one guy or one gal in the stands and they're going. So there's a bit of a good disconnect there, but I think it's funny either way. But Raw's been good the past couple of weeks, and I know we all had our reservations about Uncle Bruce taking over, and I'm sure it will fall back down to the waysides or come back down to where it normally is, but let's just enjoy what they have now. And it's been Black AF for the past few weeks. They finally pushed Apollo, the Street Profits, and Viking Raiders had good matches. Big Fine is getting a good push. They had Charlotte Flair on there, which you guys know in our off chats. She kind of holds a special place in my heart for odd reason.
Heart? Yeah, that's the body part you're going for. Okay.
Say something.
Something. I don't know. What you want me to applaud Raw for being watchable? The show's been on for 25 years, or over 25 years, and I'm supposed to applaud mediocrity. You want me to go out and applaud around like a Toyota Corolla, too? Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, yeah, it's been watchable. Cool. I like seeing Shelton and a couple other people in decent storylines. Asuka got a win over Charlotte. Cool. But, like, it's still Raw, and it's still just, it's been tolerable, but I still don't care. So I watch pieces, I do, but not enough to really give a fuck.
So you like Norm MacDonald, don't you?
I mean, I don't love him, but what was that? Men at Work? Good movie. I like that. And his stuff from SNL? Yeah, good stuff.
So you're used to applauding mediocrity, so get the fuck out of here, sir.
It's not like I worship at the altar of Norm MacDonald. What the fuck is this? Just because I tolerate his stuff, it's like you saying, you're white and an asshole. You loved Phil Hartman, didn't you? Okay, yeah, I did. But that's not the fucking point.
Come on, right? Man. So Phil Hartman was awesome. There will be no Phil Hartman slander on these airwaves.
Was that R-I-T. Slander? No, but I was just generalizing. That was all. Just throwing up more SNL from the 90s, people.
But you named a funny white person, man. That kind of defeats the purpose of what I was trying to say. I was trying to back you through a corner.
I don't think Norm MacDonald is funny. Some people. I said some people. I didn't say me. I said I tolerated him when you asked the first time. He's not the worst. Tony, are you being offended? Do you like Norm MacDonald?
Don't fucking bring me into this one.
Oh, that's a yes.
No, it's just you guys are being fucking weird right now, and I'm not in on this one.
All right, so let's you and I talk. Andrew, you can mute your microphone right now, man.
Hey, Andrew, let's you and I talk and you mute your microphone. That's what Chris just said, isn't it? Is that what I just heard?
No, he wants to talk to you, Tony.
Oh, you want to talk to me? Why? Really? Yeah. Oh, God.
He likes you. Really? He wants you to be involved.
I want to go to the principal's office right now.
Because we can talk about how good Raw has been the past couple of weeks. Andrew clearly has no point of reference or cares to talk about it.
Yeah,
I already
Raw has been good.
I brought up the Toyota Corolla. I have a point of reference. You just don't want to take it.
Was there a Toyota Corolla in Raw?
I don't know. There might have been. Braun's fucking pretty kit car looks
I
like
wasn't watch. Asking you. Mute your microphone. You didn't fucking watch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Raw has been a good show, man. I mean, the 3 hours still drags, yes, but it's been a damn good show. I've been entertained the past couple of weeks. I have, and I don't care who knows it. I don't care. I'll shout it from the mountaintop.
I feel like your interest first got drawn aboard once the ninjas came aboard with Akira Tozawa, and then the Big Show comes back. Not to mention Christian. Edge cuts a great promo this week. It's been a lot of familiarity for people in our age bracket that love to look back and, you know, hark on those things. Obviously, this is why Andrew's mic is muted right now. We can still see his face react to the things I'm saying right now. Yep. Hi, buddy. But don't you think that since they got rid of Heyman, and I said that in quotes there, this isn't Pritchard. This is Vince. This is Vince all over it for the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's always been Vince all over it. Heyman got to get... There were some blueprints or some footprints, rather, of Heyman on the show, but it was always all Vince. And it's always going to be all Vince until, you know, Vince goes to that upper room. And they've had a good few weeks. Let's see if they can maintain it, which I don't know if they're going to be able to do this, but... I've enjoyed it, and I'm okay with that. I'm a wrestling fan, man. Like, we do this podcast because we enjoy wrestling, and it's not always great to enjoy wrestling, or it's not always easy to enjoy wrestling, especially with all the bullshit that's going on right now. It makes it kind of hard to be a fan. So I'm going to applaud the biggest company in the world, excuse me, when they entertain me with a show.
All right, let's talk about...
Who knows?
Let's talk about, since Andrew's doing a good job of being quiet, let's talk about a couple of things that I enjoyed from Raw. I'm fairly certain that we have Lana with Natty now. I mean, talk about that heel status and then someone that's a manager on top of that. To me, I really love that dynamic. I think it's going to work. I don't really give a fuck if you can puke into your own fucking microphone over there, Andrew.
It's weird, but it might work because Lana can talk and get heat, and we all know Natty is one of the best workers in the company, male or female. So maybe they can pull that shit off. Another thing that I wanted to kind of double back to what you said about they brought back a lot of familiar faces. That might be a panic move because the ratings have been dropping. I don't really think ratings matter right now because of the whole COVID thing, but some of these hashtag journalists that we flambasted earlier do. So maybe that's a reaction to how the Rays have been. Bring back some familiar faces. And it's worked. But yeah, Lana and Natty, we'll see.
How about the 2-for-1 special? You got AJ officially, and then you got Rude and Ziggler coming back. Ziggler right back into the championship picture there. To me, I'm looking forward to a great match at Extreme Rules. Hoping it's an Extreme Rules match, which I believe it is, between Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre.
I'm watching this very closely, PC, because during Kofi Kingston's title run last year, there were a lot of people that didn't think that they booked him strongly. And I thought that they booked him very strongly. And one of his major opponents during his title reign was Dolph Ziggler. So I'm looking at y'all, and you about to tell on yourselves, because you're going to tell me that you're going to enjoy the Ziggler and McIntyre program, but you totally shat upon the Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler program. So I'm looking at a lot of you mellow farmers. A lot of y'all about to tell on yourselves right now, just like y'all told on yourselves during the Bobby Lashley, Lana Rusev thing. So I'm looking at you, and I see you. I just want you to know I see you. And I'm looking forward to this as well, Tony. And it's going to be a damn good match.
How about the Street Profits finally victorious over the Viking Raiders and a big show of respect at the end there? And to me, a little bit of symbolism on how different cultures need to respect each other.
you really think that WWE was trying to make a bigger picture statement here with that Street Profits Viking Raiders thing? You think they have that in their repertoire, sir?
Whether they were or weren't, as a wrestling fan, if you can take that away from it, from yourself, then why not? Because it just is... It's what things should be. It shouldn't matter. You know what I'm saying? You and I have been together talking about everything from sports to wrestling to the entire global landscape before, during, and we'll continue to do it after, right? So to me, I was like, maybe a few people that are not... I want to choose my words carefully here. As informed as others are, maybe this is what finally lights the light bulb. And if that's intended or not, why not?
In humanity, but I feel you. Just can we make Street Profits 15% less coony? We don't even have to go 20 or 25. Just 15% less coony. Please.
Because
those guys
that.
Have natural charisma and they could be big stars.
I can't speak to that or say anything like that.
just wishful thinking. But a damn good match, by the way. And I like the run-in with Garza and Andrade. That seems like a good spot. They're clearly going to eventually be the tag champs. They're going to end up beefing and wrestling each other.
All right, last thing I got for you. I want to applaud Andrew for, you know, not chiming in here. I know it's been tough. As he yawns.
Please, he's just drinking his bottle, man. He's good. He got a fifth. He's good.
I don't know. I think he's writing his story that has to come out soon. I think he's taking this time to do some homework. This is like, I already did my homework. I'm going to work on this side thing while you guys do that. This is perfect. I appreciate this segment. I think that's what's going on. But
how funny is it that he got his Superman Clark Kent curl, but it's at like a 26 degree angle? You know what I mean?
He's like, damn, I love these topics where I don't have to talk. I get so much more work done.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be funnier. The Superman curl response. I thought that was going
to
be funny.
He unmuted his microphone to just not laugh at you. And then he muted again. That was pretty good. That was really good, actually. That was pretty good. That was really fucking good. Yeah. How do you feel about
disrespect?
How do you feel about three belt Bailey?
You mean three belt Sasha?
No, three belt. Oh yeah, three belt. No, three belt Banks. My bad. Three belt Banks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all here. I
apologize
for anything. Yeah.
I think it's gonna happen.
And it's going to be a damn good match between her and Asuka, man. Sasha is an underrated performer. I know, you know, Charlotte gets all the rub, and rightfully so. And then the Becky thing kind of caught fire, and Asuka's a damn good performer as well. But Sasha Banks is an underrated performer in this industry. I really do think so. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased.
Andrew's trying to catch up so he can get in on this conversation, because I would like to also ask him. And I messed up saying Bailey at first, because I messaged all you guys when I was watching Raw the other night and said we're heading towards three belt Banks. Andrew, comments? Three belt Banks.
Sure. I don't know where Chris is going with the underappreciated thing, where I'm pretty sure I put Sasha over more, with the exception of her suicide dive, than most people. But, I mean, I just, honestly, I'm a little sick of the spinoff of Becky Lynch's, you know, Becky Two Belts thing. Like, you don't need Bayley dose straps, and I guess they won't use belt again, so what else can we call it? Triple titles? Sasha triple titles?
Three,
I don't know.
Three sash Sasha?
Oh, sash, there we go. Like she's the, like the homecoming queen or something like that. There we go. She'll just wear them like that. She'll just wear them across her chest the whole time, like homecoming sashes. Yes.
And now Bailey's the lackey.
Yes.
Andrew, can I ask you a question, sir?
Sure.
Why in God's green name would you think that I was just necessarily talking about you when I said that Sasha was underappreciated, you self-absorbed melon farmer? Get your head out of your ass,
sir. Because you usually like to direct it at me and just, you know, insinuate or infer it through to everyone else. Like, you think that I have that similar kind of thing. Like the whole Norm MacDonald thing from, I don't know, how long have I been silent? It's been a while. I don't know. But there we go. So you just like to generalize. So I personalize your generalizations. There we go. It's like a hallmark.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. But I had two makes three, but I mean, when the man makes a point, man, what am I gonna do? I think somehow, some way that Bayley cost Sasha this title, and I think we're heading to a main event with Big Booty Bayley versus the boss Sasha Banks for the SmackDown title. I think that's gonna be our main event at SummerSlam.
You could, or you could just see Kyrie come back, and then that kind of reignites some kind of interwoven story between the tag titles, and maybe Kyrie goes for the SmackDown title or something like that, or maybe Kyrie goes for Asuka's title. Maybe Kyrie interferes in the match just to then challenge Asuka, because you also have to think there were those rumors a little bit ago before she got hurt that she was less than happy with her position and with the WWE and the schedule and everything since she just got married. So she may be on her way out. So as a last hurrah, a parting gift, so to speak, they might give her the match against Asuka that lots of fans have kind of wanted. So that would be a good way to have her come back, do some kind of save and make it look like, oh, they're buddy, isn't this wonderful? And then, you know, Kyrie lays out Asuka and then challenges for the title at whatever pay-per-view comes up next after that.
And why shouldn't she be upset with the company? I mean, goddamn, man. Again, Nature Boy Ric Flair almost died like twice in the past 4 years. He's got like 25% of a colon, and they're sticking him out here in this COVID goddamn pandemic where they've got 50-11 employees that have caught the shit. But hey, let's have Nature Boy Ric Flair out there. And Tony, I know I too enjoy seeing Nature Boy Ric Flair anytime I can see him, but I also would like to see his ass next year as well. And they're being reckless. They're fucking up the church. They're fucking with the church's money, gentlemen. That's what we call that. They're fucking with the church's money. Anywho, that being said, Mr. Belaz, why don't you unmute yourself and let the good folks know where they can find you?
Oh, yeah, Twitter, IWC Warchief, and you can find me on The Chair Shot, writing about not WWE 90% of the time. And
we know.
Yeah, and I'm glad you know. But anyway, and yeah, that's fun. Tani, how about you plug some stuff?
Well, yes, indeed, I will.
Yes, yes, honey, work it. You better stretch your stuff, baby. Yes, I don't know where any of that came from.
Yeah, neither do I. You can find me at PC Tunney. You know, head on over to thechairshot.com. Check out DWI podcast, Three Man Weave, Bandwagon Nerds, etc., etc.
You can find me at most of those places that Tunney just said, but I'm
yes,
also
you
like
can. I mean, Twitter. Yes, you see. Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't either. But you can also find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. More importantly, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up an official chair shot T-shirt, please and thank you and please. Hey, man, shout out again to our guest, the lovely Heather Janine. You all can find her on Twitter at The Real Error, at not The Real Jesus Christ, at Heather Janine. That's Heather JEANNINE. She's awesome. Go check her out. And thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Pod is War. We'll be back next week, better than ever. Same Platt time, same Platt channel. Thank you, Tunney. Thank you, Blast. Thank you, Heather. And thank you all for listening, most importantly. Until next time, shalom. Hit it, Carly.
You know the best thing about next week, you know, because that the last few matches of the second round of the New Japan Cup happened on the first before this show, and I'll cover it. And then Tunney already made the promise that he's gonna actually lay his two cents onto who he thinks is gonna make it to the finals after we got there, because he said that a few weeks ago. So that means we can stop fucking clapping around the Toyota Corolla and fucking talk about something that, you know, will most likely not suck. So there we go. That's my boon. That's what I'm looking forward to next week. It's like an early 4th of July for me. Fuck, it's July 1st. It's Canada Day. So it's even more fitting that Tunney and his Canadian accent and your Jamaican Canadian accent will have something to fucking revel about that's not fucking mediocre, because that's gonna be just fucking fantastic!